Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care. Working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Wednesday, we'll talk about the best organic gardening methods on How Homeopathy Helps to Grow Great Gardens, a show co-hosted by HWC founder and homeopath Debbie Bruck and international expert agrohomeopath Kavi Raj. We invite you to comment and call in to contribute your thoughts and questions. Let's go!
Hi, I'm Debbie Bruck, founder of Homeopathy World Community. And today, I'm not going to be speaking with our regular co-host, Kavi Raj, who is the Vice President of the World Homeopathic Association in the UK chapter, and he's also the author of the international bestseller, Homeopathy for Farm and Garden. Today, Kavi Raj is in Canada giving seminars on organic gardening and is unable to attend the show. Hopefully, Dr. Robert Bruck from North Carolina State University, a well-known plant pathologist working in global warming and environmental issues, may be able to call in after he's finished giving his regular lecture at the university. So today is February 2nd, 2011. You are listening to show number 15 of How Homeopathy Helps Grow Great Gardens. Thank you so much if you are listening either on the Blog Talk Radio chat, on the Homeopathy World Community chat, if you're listening to the widget, or however you're downloading the show. I really appreciate that we have listeners. Today is going to be dedicated to the issue of alfalfa. We really need to speak out, all of us together. And that means getting educated about this issue and what is happening in our environment with our laws. That's why we have a show on Thursday about legal rights, so that we can get learned about how to deal with these sorts of issues. So what happened is that last week, President Obama and Secretary Bill Gates approved Monsanto's GMO alfalfa. Despite overwhelming public protest, this move fundamentally undermines the organic industry, especially the organic meat industry, because if they're going to be grazing on these GMO products, and the dairy industry. And that means that down the food chain, it's all going into us, into our pets, into our environment. In approving the GMO alfalfa, the Obama administration caved in to lobbying efforts by Monsanto and made it harder for the family farmers to make a living and for consumers wanting to eat safe and healthy foods. This decision is a devastating blow to our democracy because it means that they're not listening to the public opinion and the basic rights of farmers to choose how they want to grow food on their land, especially because we know it can spread pollination. And we want to protect the rights of consumers who are increasingly buying organic and sustainably grown food for its positive health and environmental impacts. So there are things that you can do to join those who are banding together to help get this effort into the public domain so that the legislators know for sure that you don't want this to go through, even though it has already been accepted. Can we go back on what has legislatively been passed? I believe that we are definitely in a revolutionary era with our consciousness shifting about our lifestyles, our environmental concerns, and what we want to provide and teach for our children and future generations. There is a push in the United States to use these same techniques of grassroots movements that Obama himself used, the president used, to get into office. Let us use the similimum and hope that he, Obama, will recognize the same type of energy and force that the people can provide for improving our world. The same energy that he used as grassroots movement to get into office, that we can use that same quality and type of energy that he would recognize that people do not want what has just legislatively been approved. It was done through lobbying. And so he gave us that message, and now he must hear it repeated back to him for change to actually happen. We have been talking on this show about the effects of GMO seeds in our environment over a number of weeks and months. The sterilization of our planet is at stake and our food supply. The potential changes that happen to our own DNA when we eat these alien foods, we do not know what the end result will be. It's like a huge experiment. If you have not heard about the recent legislative action that I just spoke about, the deregulation of the major crop of alfalfa, then I'm going to be providing some information today. I would like first to tell you a few places that you can read and get involved if you do have the time and resources to do that. There is a place called the Alliance for Natural Health. It is the Truth in Labeling campaign. What they're doing is calculating that if there were 435 groups, can you just imagine just 435 groups in the United States, and each of those groups had 2,300 supporters, that would be 1 million votes against Monsanto. And you know that we have on the HWC plenty of advocacy action items where you can click. And Europe is really big and strong on this. They are out there in the streets. They are plugging away, and they won't let the organic seeds get in there. But the United States has gone ahead, not listening to the world populations, what their voice is. And so I will tell you to go to http://organicconsumers.org, and you will find on there a link for the / to Monsanto and learn more about this particular group. And what else can I tell you about what's going on there? If you just go there right now, it takes a minute because I'm working on a really slow computer today. And so I'm not going to be able to go there, but I would like to say that this whole thing began, I started to read in the New York Times this issue about the alfalfa. Tom Vilsack is a former Iowa governor and is the Secretary of State, Secretary of Agriculture, rather. And the thing is that who is he? What does he really know about agriculture? I'm going to see if I can find you this information about him. James Tom Vilsack. He's just close to my age. He was born in 1950, and he is an American politician. He's not involved with agriculture in the shape and form of being an advocate for what is good for people to eat. He's a member of the Democratic Party and is the United States Secretary of Agriculture. He served as the 40th governor of the state of Iowa, and he was first elected in 1998 and reelected to a second four-year term in 2002. He formally launched his candidacy for the Democratic Party's nomination for president of the United States in 2008, but he ended his bid. President Barack Obama announced Vilsack's selection to be the United States Secretary of Agriculture under his administration in December 17, 2008. So he's held that position for a number of years now. The Vilsack nomination was confirmed by the United States Senate by a unanimous consent. That's really incredible. That means everybody was for him. They didn't really take a really close look at his background, because his background is really more of a lobbying effort for the biotech industry organizations. When the Senate confirmed Vilsack's nomination for the position by unanimous consent in January 20th, that's almost two years ago, 2009, the reaction to his nomination from the agricultural groups was largely positive and included endorsements from, guess who? The Corn Refiners Association, the National Grain and Feed Association, the National Farmers Union, the American Farm Bureau Federation, and the Environmental Defense Fund. Opposition to the nomination came from the Organic Consumers Association, which outlined in the November 2008 report several reasons why it believed Vilsack would be a poor choice for the position, particularly as energy and environmental reforms were a key point of the Obama campaign. It seems like he went really against the grain when he decided to select him as the person in charge. Among the reasons the report cites, Vilsack had appealed to large farms and genetically modified crops. As Iowa State Governor, he originated the Seed Preemption Bill in 2005, effectively blocking local communities from regulating where genetically engineered crops would be grown. Additionally, Vilsack was the founder and former chair of the Governor's Biotechnology Partnership and was named Governor of the Year by the Biotechnology Industry Organization, an industry lobbying group. Mr. Vilsack appointed Shirley Sherrod as the Georgia Director of Rural Development, saying that she would be an important advocate on behalf of rural communities. Months after the appointment, Vilsack forced her to resign based on accusations of considering race in the handling of her job responsibilities at the private advocacy firm in 1986. And you probably recall all of that segment. Vilsack is also a former member of the National Governors Association Executive Committee. He was chair of the Democratic Governors Association in 2004, and he was also chair of the Governors Biotechnology Partnership, the Governors Ethanol Coalition, and the Midwest Governors Conference, and has also been chair and vice chair of the National Governors Association's Committee on Natural Resources, where he worked to develop the NGA's farm and energy policy. So basically, he is in bed, as people say. He's very closely tied to big business, big industry, and not really concerned about the individual farmer or what the effects of these GMOs are having on the mass population. Here's a quote from Vilsack in 2007 in a lecture to the Commonwealth Club of California. Quote, "Iowa is one of the nation's leading producers of corn-based ethanol, and many people in my state have an economic stake in expanded use of corn-based ethanol. But the reality is that corn-based ethanol will never be enough to reach our goals. Some have suggested we import more sugar-based ethanol from Brazil, and we should indeed consider all sources of available ethanol. But if we're going to create energy security, we can't simply replace one important source of energy with another. That alone is not security. The only way we can produce enough domestically is if we greatly improve the technology used to produce cellulosic ethanol." So here you see his concern is the security of the energy that we get in the United States, and that we should be independently manufacturing our energy, which is not anything that I'm against. I'm against being self-efficient, but we can use many of the natural resources that we have. We know that corn is also GMO corn, and we also know that it actually costs more to produce than this type of corn than it's worth putting in. And so basically, it also takes away this feed from the animals that need to eat and from the populations that need to eat. And so this mindset and this logic of producing more and more corn to make ethanol is just not correct. Somehow he's gotten off of the path here. In addition, there was a hurricane of outrage from food advocates all over the country when this decision was made. Subject on the deregulation of alfalfa was debated and hashed out, and you know, people really thought that they were going to have some input, some say in the outcome of this particular debate and decision. One organic farmer had said that Tom Vilsack was in a difficult situation, that it was a difficult decision to make, and it wouldn't be easy to make this decision, but in the end, he chose agribusiness over the consumer's opinion. And what does that make us feel as consumers, to feel like we're our voice is not being heard? We're feeling very hopeless about our future. Yet, we still have the power through the internet. We can see this in the revolutions that are occurring around the world, revolutionary thinking, revolutionary action. We can make an impact, even if, and not think that all is lost. Even the Organic Consumers Association, the OCA, weighed in on the topic with a reactionary piece, practically boycotting Whole Foods and Stonyfield Farms, saying, quote, "Top executives from these companies have publicly admitted that they no longer oppose the mass commercialization of GE crops, such as Monsanto's controversial Roundup Ready alfalfa, and are prepared to sit down and cut a deal for coexistence with Monsanto and USDA biotech cheerleader Tom Vilsack." Everybody has a label for him, and we know now that in Natural News, we're very concerned about the foods that are even labeled in our stores. When we go to Whole Foods, when we see something, yogurt, Stonyfield Farms, is it non-GMO? Do we really know? It's a very difficult situation, really, that the consumer is in. Will we be boycotting these as a form of opposition to what has been done? So we should not feel hopeless about this situation, because we still have the power to act on this decision, even if it's late. The other thing that he says is this quote is about coexistence with Monsanto and the USDA biotech cheerleader Tom Vilsack. And the question is, we talk a lot on the show about a symbiotic relationship with the environment and with each other, and how we help each other to live in a better way. Coexistence is not really the same thing, because we're not getting any benefit. Each has to provide for each other in a good relationship that derives benefit. And when you talk about coexistence, where it's not really that, it's mislabeled, just like our food is mislabeled. Monsanto is not coexisting with the people. No, they're doing their own thing and taking away from the farmers. Stonyfield Farms responded to this statement with, "On the day of the decision, the Organic Consumers Association distributed an inaccurate, irresponsible, and frankly appalling letter that attempted to pin the blame for the USDA's decision squarely on Stonyfield, Organic Valley, and Whole Foods." So in the United States, we know that these are reliable organic food producers. OCA's letter is blatantly untrue and dangerously misleading, but also deeply divisive, at a time when we all need to be focused on immediate actions necessary to stop this new policy from going into effect. And so that statement was given before the final decision was made. They continue their argument poignantly by stating that, quote, "The USDA's own organic standards do not allow the use of genetically engineered crops. Stonyfield is absolutely and utterly opposed to the deregulation of GE crops. We believe that these crops are resulting in significantly higher uses of toxic herbicides and water, creating a new generation of costly superweeds, and pose severe and irreversible threats to biodiversity and seed stocks. They do not live up to the superior yield claims of their patent holders and are unaffordable for small family farmers in the United States and around the world. We believe that organic farming methods are proving through objective scientific validation to offer far better solutions. We also believe that unrestricted deregulation of GE crops unfairly limits farmer and consumer choice. And see, we have here stated point by point everything that we're talking about as a hologram to what's going on in the world. Here, Stonyfield Farms is saying that they want to have choice and that they do not agree with this new policy, that they are against genetically engineered crops, and they are against the deregulation of crops, and they are the one of the prime organic producers in the United States. And so why wasn't their voice heard? And what are the results of using GMO crops? It's the use of more and more herbicides and pollution of our waterways and the spraying. And we know that we see all of the spraying going on. It also is creating the new generation of costly superweeds. So the fact that there's going to be these superweeds, we've been hearing all about MRSA, about resistant bacteria to staph, about superbugs. We are creating a monster in our environment by going ahead and creating the antipathy, not the similimum, not working in harmony and unison with nature, but trying to force and suppress what's going on in the natural environment, in our bodies, in our plants, in our environment. By doing this, we are really creating and enabling these superweeds and superbugs to proliferate in our environment. We're not going in a good direction, I can tell you that. And the Stonyfield Farm said that it poses a severe and irreversible threat to biodiversity and to seed stocks. We know that it can these kinds of crops can contaminate natural seed crops and plants that have been in harmony and diversity throughout the globe for millennia, and now just in a decade, just in a short amount of time, we are going to destroy what has it taken God all of this time to create for us, for our nurturing and all of the good qualities that the plants have that we take in. The spirit of these plants are within those plants. And when we go tampering with them, we don't know the outcome. And so, again, Stonyfield Farm says these GMOs do not live up to the superior claims, yield claims that their patent holders state. So again, we are being lied to. We're being told statistics are being manipulated, numbers are being twisted, people are being lobbied to. Where are the facts from the field? Where's the information that show substantially and without question that these GMOs are going to be good for the environment and to create larger yield, not growth? And this is the problem. Who is listening to these facts? Who is being swayed by what is being told? People have to do some investigation into this type of information. Stonyfield Farms also says that it is unaffordable for small family farmers in the United States and around the world, especially when diversity is destroyed. Because for all of these years, for generations and generations, mankind has used the natural seed crops to replant their fields. And when you take that away from them, they do not have the ability to work in harmony with their land. They are dependent, like slaves, upon the GMO manufacturers and big industry to purchase these seeds to plant. And the problem is these seeds are sterile, and they are beholden to these industries to continue every year to purchase more and more of their product. And these products are not inexpensive. They are very expensive. So, and what happens if the weather goes bad? What happens if there is a one-time epidemic or plague? It wipes out this monoculture. So it is really not beneficial for our planet. We believe that organic farming methods are proving through objective scientific validation to offer far better solutions. And this we've been studying in the last number of shows about how the use of homeopathy and natural symbiotic relations, understanding the root system of the plants, and the fact that there are good bacteria and good relationships to all the things that are the microscopic living organisms in the earth and everything else. So this is really, really important. Okay. The most concerning effect of the deregulation of alfalfa, in common opinion, is that once GMOs start to crossbreed, we won't know how to stop it. We'll have a little seed on our hand for safety, and these are the people who backstock some of their organic seeds, and so you need to find out who does have these organic seed stocks and get them and put them away, but how long will they last? Will our lands be contaminated? The other question that's being brought up is how we will define organic. Once this deregulation goes into place, what will organic crops look like? What will organic crops be something that is going to accept GMOs based in the legislature, not based in our minds, but based in their minds? What is likely to happen is a totally redefined organic, because certain commercial crops, organic won't be available anymore. So where are we going to find them? This really, really does need to be stopped. And so we're depending on you. We're depending on each of us to let our neighbors and our friends know. Let's get this grassroots effort going. You can do that by going to Facebook, and I'm sure there's plenty of places on Facebook about organic gardening, including the Health Ranger, which is Natural News, Mike Adams. You can go there and find out what's happening. That's the beauty of the internet, that we know moment to moment, day by day, get updates about the latest breaking news. Here is the message that now it should not surprise you. Approximately two-thirds of the products sold by Whole Foods Market and their main distributor, United Natural Foods, UNFI, are not certified organic, but rather are conventional. That means that they're chemical-intensive and GMO-tainted foods and products disguised as natural. That is a quote from Ronnie Cummings, OCA. And who is Ronnie Cummings? Let's find out. Ronnie Cummings of the Organic Consumer Association, OCA, spent a lifetime as a professional activist. Since getting his start in the anti-war activism in 1967, he has dabbled in the human rights and anti-nuclear, labor, consumer, and sustainable agriculture movements. From 1992 to 1998, he served as a campaign consultant and director for anti-technology zealot Jeremy Rifkin's Foundation on Economic Trends. Cummings spent the 1990s leading food scare efforts of national and international scope, including Rifkin's Beyond Beef campaign, the Pure Food campaign, which later became the OCA, and the Global Days of Action Against Genetic Engineering. We must give him kudos and applause for all of his decades of efforts to stand up to GMO. At the height of the American mad cow food scare, Cummins insisted, with no evidence to support his warning, that, quote, we may already have an epidemic in the United States. So he is always on the cutting edge, and we should be listening to him, taking his warnings. And he's telling us excuse me, that all the products of whole foods are not all safe or what we thought they are. In 1998, Cummins told the Minneapolis City Pages that, quote, consumers and farmers would both be better off if people paid twice as much for their meat and ate half as much. And we know that people have longevity and live longer if they reduce their diet, if they don't eat as much food. And now he's saying also to reduce in half the amount of meat that you eat. And we know that that is directly correlated to heart disease. And despite the promise of important biotech advances to the world's food supply, Cummins promised a San Diego Union Tribune reporter that it's not going to be that long before we'll have the same movement around industrial agriculture and genetic engineering that we had around nuclear power. So this crosses all barriers. We're talking about the power. We're talking about nutrition. We're talking about the safety and health of our environment and what we breathe, drink, and eat. Because we know that all of these industrial pesticides and insecticides are contaminating our waterways and our air. And it doesn't just stay put in one localized area. It does go and cover the globe through the currents of air. In July 2000, Cummins poured his fear of food charisma into an apocalyptic book called Genetically Engineered Food, a Self-Defense Guide for Consumers. So if you might want to take a look at that book, Genetically Engineered Food, a Self-Defense Guide for Consumers. Despite his commitment to educating consumers through his writing and organized protests, Cummins at a June 2000 protest outside of Washington, D.C., Starbucks Coffee House, he conceded that his strategy depends on, quote, the fact that most consumers aren't smart enough to know what they want, unquote. So basically, do we know what we want? Are we educating ourselves? Are we investigating and researching the information that is put in our media? Quote, the policy set for GE alfalfa will most likely guide policies for other GE crops as well. True coexistence is a must, unquote. Whole Foods Market, January 21, 2011. So that was just that quote was just stated, and it goes against what I read earlier about Whole Foods policy. Or was that Stonyfield Farms? Let me see who I was reading from. That was Stonyfield Farms, excuse me. So Stonyfield Farms is a producer of organic yogurt and dairy products. And then we see Farms is wanting to with coexistence. It sounds like peace, it sounds like harmony, but in essence, when one is taking advantage of the other, when one is not giving choice to another, when one is not living in peaceful coexistence. So we have to question then what's going on with Whole Foods Market. Are we going to continue to purchase our products from them? Are we going to send them emails? Are we going to continue to get out there with social networking and voice our opinion? In the wake of the battle to eat Monsanto's genetically engineered GE crops from contaminating the nation's 25,000 organic farms and ranches, America's organic consumers and producers are facing betrayal. This is from Cummins. He says, the self-appointed cabal of the organic and Stonyfield Farm has decided it's time to surrender to And we really need to wonder who to believe. Welcome, Dr. Bob. I have been ranting and raving here for over 35 minutes.
Hi there.
Dr. Bob. Hi. Maybe you have a point of view on all of this. I don't know how long you've been listening.
Well, I've been listening for about 10 minutes, and I've also been doing some reading like you regarding this new alfalfa situation, which is a really interesting question. Naturally, it's the same old story. Monsanto Corporation is trying to, they have developed a Roundup Ready alfalfa strain. And for those of you who don't know, alfalfa by far is the largest forage crop that is grown in the United States. It is a very high-quality legume, high-protein nitrogen sources for animals, and it is the premium forage crop for raising high-quality cattle and other farm animals. It is grown on extensive acreages, tens of thousands of acres, as a cover crop. It is then harvested, dried, and fed to the animals. And quite frankly, it has been doing very well as a cover crop in this country for centuries. What Monsanto has done is created a market. Typically, a very small amount, if any, what's known as pre-emergence herbicide, like atrazine, would be used only under the most dire situations to grow alfalfa. Alfalfa is not a high-value crop, obviously. It's only used for forage. So what Monsanto has done, and apparently successfully so, is literally created their own market. And what they've done is say, even though, you could use something else, and it doesn't really matter if there are some weeds in your alfalfa. It's not being grown for human food. It's being grown for silage. That, in fact, now we have Roundup Ready. So not only are you able to grow this beautiful crop of alfalfa, but only if you have weeds, you can spray Roundup over the top, and, of course, it will not harm the alfalfa plant, and it will kill any type of weed that is growing out in your field. So it's sort of like they've created a new drug. It's sort of like the correlation I would make is a designer drug. Okay,
yeah.
For old men, we're gonna, you can't do what you got to do, so we're gonna give you a Viagra. Do you need Viagra? No. Okay, but we've created this market where you can use it because it's convenient. Here, alfalfa growing is doing just fine. Therefore, we're gonna present you with a new choice of using our seed, which of course is patented. You cannot use it again. Okay. And by doing so, you then have the privilege of spraying our drug, namely Roundup, on your crop. It's really a very different type of approach to the kinds of approach that they have used so far on high-value crops.
Okay, so who is going to purchase this seed? I mean, what happens in the process of deregulation? Why would anybody want to use this seed?
I think that basically they're going to use it because what American farming has become. Let's think about what's happened over the past 50 years or 100 years. In the year 1900 in the United States, 94% of the population was directly involved with farm gate agriculture. They grew food, they grew whatever, as part of what they were doing. By 1950, after World War II, it was down to about 50%. Half people worked out on the farm, half the people worked in the cities at jobs. Today, in the year 2009, where we have our latest statistics, 1.2% of the American population, one out of 100 people, actually have a full-time job on a production farm, growing food, animals, corn, soybeans, whatever it is they're growing in the entire United States. How did that come about? It came about due to one word and one word only, and that's technology. Okay? It takes one person on 10,000 acres on a giant tractor, which sits 50 feet off the ground with 30-foot wheels. He has a satellite television set, an air conditioner, and a refrigerator in the cab. That one guy can actually plant and or harvest in a single day thousands of acres, whereas 50 years ago it would have taken 10 people to do it, and 100 years ago it would have taken 200 or 300 people to do it. Therefore, modern agriculture is done by very few people. What they have been convinced, whether it be right or wrong, is any type of technology that is going to potentially save them time is good. By using Roundup Ready alfalfa, they plant it, and if there are no weeds, they don't have to worry about it. If there are weeds, they can come in later in the season and go over the top with Roundup and knock those weeds out. That is considered to be very, very time-saving and efficient, regardless of what it does to the crop, regardless what it does to the genome of natural plants that are out in the neighborhood.
Okay, so I have a couple of things to ask. One, it seems
Hello,
can you hear me?
Okay, you fell out for a second. I can hear you.
So it's even ethical because they're not concerned about the humans who are consuming their produce. Produce organic products, they will be it's get a higher price for their
goods. Two things. First of all, you made a statement.
And higher quality.
Okay, you made a statement that they would not agree with. Okay, their take, of course, on all GM food is it has no negative effect on human beings. Period. They will not back down from that, regardless of what data is out there. You need to understand that their marketing pitch to the farmer, to the consumer, is that you're some sort of a Luddite if you don't believe that this is good for society, that there is nothing wrong with the quality and or the genetics of what we're doing. Secondly, what they are doing is trading, okay, the price of the development of their GMO for the price of labor and diesel fuel. Remember, the price of fuel is going up. So they're saying that your time is worth money because now that one guy is being paid a lot of money to deal with those crops, whereas there were 10 or 100 guys 50 or 100 years ago doing the same work. Therefore, he is a highly paid professional. The less time you have to spend worrying about your crop, the more money you're going to make. Secondly, the less pesticide you have to spray, meaning the number of times you have to spray, means the lower your fuel cost. One of these giant tractors probably gets about 3 miles per gallon, okay? I mean, they are very, very fuel inefficient. Therefore, by simply incorporating all the technology in the seed, we are saving you time and money, even though our seed is going to cost 3, 4, 5 times more than the regular run-of-the-mill alfalfa seed, in this case, that you would use. That is how they sell the product.
All of the logical concepts that we have been speaking about, the fact that there's no diversity, which means that if anything comes in with a super weed or a super bug, that their entire investment will be wiped out in the span of a season. And are they not concerned about that? And
should the farmers be concerned about it? The answer is yes. Is Monsanto concerned about it? No.
Yeah, but aren't the Monsanto? Don't the farmers also realize that they're beholden to Monsanto to have to purchase their seeds every year now, because in the past they were able to use the natural seeds that are, gather their seed crop from the previous harvest and plant on their own the seeds.
That is not true to a certain extent. That's the way it was done, and that's the way a lot of organic farmers do it. But typically, farmers will buy new seed each year in order to get seed that does not have contamination and viruses and insects in it to introduce to their field. The difference is that a standard-grown alfalfa seed costs probably about 20 or 30% of that of the GMO seed. So it is a lot cheaper, and it has more diversity, as you just said. On the other hand, that from their point of view, if they are avoiding labor on their field, that to them is their biggest expense, and they are willing to take the chance of using the GMO.
How, what do we have to say to these people? How do we get the message to them? And what is it that they will understand in easy speak language? I mean, how can we change their mind?
That's simple. Basically, let's understand, and what I'm about to say is not meant to be cynical, it's meant to be factual. The farm is no longer the farm. In the past 20 or 30 years, the American farm is agribusiness. Agribusiness, okay? Virtually all of the food you eat is not grown by Farmer Jones on his 100 acres. It is grown by the Jones Cooperative on 100,000 acres. And, of course, why is it done this way? It's economy of scale because a very few people, remember, 1% of the American public grow our food. Those people, in many cases, can become very, very wealthy. It's all about money. Therefore, it's back to the same deal. If people are against GMO foods, the only way they could fight it is with their pocketbook. You were talking about Whole Foods recently. Now, I certainly hope Whole Foods is not putting a fraud on people, that when they say something is organic, that it truly is organic. If they are defrauding people, then, as you said, people better speak up about
it. The people probably don't even know. Unless they're out there reading this information,
they don't know.
And this is the thing that was just came out in today's news from Natural News, from the Health Ranger, saying that 2/3 of the foods that you're buying from Whole Foods are not organic.
I guess the point that I'm making is organic does not have an obligation to sell organic food. Whole Foods does not have an obligation to sell organic food. They have an obligation that if they're labeling it as organic, that it is truly organic. And if they are defrauding people, then people ought to raise hell. In the same way that the only way to get farmers to change what they're doing is to hit them in the pocketbook. Now, as you know, the organic food market is the fastest growing segment of the American food economy. It's growing at 14 to 17% per year, even with the recession. So that means more and more people are demanding that they are getting organic food. And I guess the answer is that they're going to have to team together, okay, power in numbers, and say, you know something? If you're going to sell GMO alfalfa to these chicken farms, to these beef farms, we will not buy that chicken or beef and put their money where their mouth is. That's about the only way you could prevent this kind of behavior.
The problem is that with what I'm reading with Whole Foods and Organic Valley and the others, if they are now saying that we are going to live in peace, in coexistence with Monsanto's products, then they're accepting it, and they're talking about redefining organic as allowing these kinds of filtration.
If the USDA caves in and allows GMOs to be sold as organic food, I guess it's the exact same thing. I don't have this as a fact, but it sounds like our friends at the FDA with the drug companies, that somebody at USDA is in bed with the wolf in this case, okay? Nobody anywhere in the world considers GMO to be, quote, certified organic food. Certainly in Europe, they would laugh in your face. They have to be heirloom species. They have to be naturally hybridized species of food that have come down for hundreds of years to be certified as organic. If you're going to be putting BT genes or genes, killer genes in it that are going to disrupt the natural life cycle of a plant, I don't think anybody would define that as organic. And as you said, the tragedy is that most people who walk into a Whole Foods really don't have the education to know the difference. If they think they're buying organic, then they're buying organic.
Right. And this is something that does go on in the stores that we do not know about. It's called truth in labeling. And yep. I think I mentioned it at the beginning of the show when you were not around. There is a Monsanto, and they are calling for truth in labeling. And the reason they're doing that is because we don't have it. Also, there's an Alliance for Natural Health. The USDA completely regulated alfalfa. It's time to make congressional hearings. It's an action alert on the www.anh-usa.org. USDA completely deregulates genetically engineered alfalfa. And it says that we really need to put pressure on them, even though they've already made their decision. How can we go back on it? This is one of my dilemmas here.
Yeah, of course, remember that the reason why they're doing it, Kay, and this is where Monsanto was able to get their grips on USDA, is that people don't eat alfalfa, okay?
Right.
Therefore, their argument is, now, virtually all the meat you eat eats alfalfa, but therefore it's metabolized by the cow, and the cow is not a GMO, it's just a GMO food. Therefore, you shouldn't care about it. But to me, that's kind of a slippery slope.
Right. So the truth in labeling is asking if anybody's interested to sign up and be a coordinator in your area. That's one of those places. So organicconsumers.org, Monsanto. And then you can also go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/healthranger. And you can get updated information from him about all sorts of natural news, including this information that 2/3 of the products sold by Whole Foods Market and their main distributor, United Natural Foods, are not certified organic, but they are conventional, meaning that they have chemically intensive and GMO-tainted foods and products disguised as natural. And I did a little bit of talking about Ronnie Cummings of the OCA. And what else can I tell you to look at? Their Natural News itself has a good number of articles about this alfalfa, and he gives a lot of links. So, and let me see if there's any other place that you need to take a look at.
Well, I mean, my suggestion would be is go to the root of the problem right here. You're not going to get any headway with Monsanto, but certainly you can go to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. It's USDA.gov, and they have comment pages there regarding anything that they do. And if people that were concerned about these things flooded them with messages, or even better, use their 800 number and call them up and voice their displeasure, that is what wakes bureaucrats up. The best thing that bureaucrats love is when basically they can get away with stuff and people don't care about it. That way it doesn't make any difference.
Right.
But bureaucrats work for us. We have to remind ourselves of that.
Yes. So we have just a little bit of time left. I originally learned this information from the from the New York Times on January 28th, when they said that the U.S. approves genetically modified alfalfa, and it was Tom Vilsack who announced that he would authorize the unrestricted commercial cultivation of genetically modified alfalfa, and he set aside the controversial compromise that had generated all that opposition that we have just been talking about all today's show.
Yeah. And I'm very interested. I'm reading your article you sent me here. And I'll just quote from it. Okay, the self-appointed cabal of organic elite, spearheaded by Whole Foods Market, Organic Valley, Stonyfield Farms, has decided to surrender to Monsanto. This is a great example that I didn't even think about until now. Okay, Organic Valley and Stonyfield Farms are milk and yogurt producers. Okay,
right.
And, of course, where does alfalfa get eaten the most? By dairy cows.
Right.
Dairy cows produce the richest milk, the higher the amount of alfalfa they eat. But let's think about that. All the biochemical properties of the alfalfa, unlike it being metabolized into muscle tissue, is going right into the milk. They're making yogurt out of that milk. Okay. And therefore, and of course, labeling it USD organic certified, that I think should raise even more concern with people that, you know, I've been thinking all the way along that, well, how does this really affect people, okay, directly in terms of health? In this case, when you're talking about dairy products, literally what's eaten by the cow is what the milk is made out of, period. And if the USDA is going to allow it to be labeled as organic, and huge markets like Whole Foods are willing to accept that, then they really are taking a large step down the ladder from the standards that have been set over the past decade.
That's the exact point that we've been trying to make here. And if you think about it, young children are drinking most of the milk. Little infants
That's
are
right.
drinking most of the milk and the yogurt and the cottage cheese and all that stuff. And they are the ones who are in their developmental growth stages, and they're the ones who are going to see down the road in the next number of decades the outcome from all of these genetically modified foods that we're taking in. And I think you mentioned that 20 million acres are grown of alfalfa just to feed
right.
dairy cows and horses. It's the nation's fourth largest crop by acreage, behind corn, which we know that's GMO, soybeans,
yep.
that's GMO, and
yep.
wheat. Is wheat GMO too?
A lot of it is not, but it's about to be.
Okay, well, we're really
they're working on GMO wheat. Yeah.
We're in big trouble, and I don't know who was able to listen to the show today. We are just about out of time. I'm glad that you were able to stop in after your class and add your bit of wisdom, knowledge about alfalfa and its importance in our ecosystem, in the food chain, in our environment. And I'm looking forward to talking to you on next Wednesday's show as well. Let's say goodbye to everyone and get out there and be an advocate for your own health.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to How Homeopathy Helps Grow Great Gardens with co-hosts Kaviraj Vaikuthanath and Debbie Brock on Homeopathy World Community Radio. Remember to get some sunshine and light up your life in your garden.